Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. This is Ann Ortley, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk with a slight time delay. It's 11 o'clock in the evening instead of 9. I had a friend who had a show this weekend, and I wanted to go see it. So I got home around 10, and I definitely would have – the show ended around 5 after 9, and I thought this was good. I moved the show. So I'm sitting here on my bright red desk at the beginning of the week of September 27th. Last week was a fairly eventful week in the world, and this week promises to be too. The purpose of this show is to introduce you to astrology, to talk about what the cosmic heavens are saying to us about what we can expect down here on Earth. And this is a very big turning point week. Last week we had what was called the Libra ingress, which is the moment in time when the sun crosses the equator and says, okay, in the northern hemisphere we are now approaching fall, and in the southern hemisphere we are now approaching spring. So the days begin to get longer in the south below the equator, and they begin to get shorter here in the north. So the days are a minute shorter every day relative to the nights growing longer every day as we move towards the winter solstice on December 21st. The season of fall has arrived in the northern hemisphere. Now, the chart for the ingress, which we cast for the moment of time when the sun crosses the equator, was at 11 o'clock at night, 11:09 on Wednesday the 22nd, 11:09 p.m. Eastern time, of course, Eastern Daylight Time. And when you looked at that chart, there was no fire in it. Not a single planet in fire. None. So that says that the quarter ahead of us, because the chart for the ingress is what the vision is for the 3 months ahead when the sun enters and starts a new season, that the season ahead of us is full of emotion and full of ideas because there's lots of water and lots of air, but there is no fire. So we're not going to see it necessarily clearly because the vision, the light is turned off. There is no light. And as the light begins to fade and we have less and less light, we'll find ourselves focusing more and more on the deeper emotions. Now, one of the things that happens with creation, whenever we create anything, is we need the four elements. Each of them has a role. The air has the idea, the thought behind it. The fire has the passion, the vision, the enthusiasm. The water has the emotion, the feeling state, the sense of, gee, this feels good, this doesn't feel so good. And the earth has the grounding, the practical, the reliable, the dependable, the let's create it. So in a season where we have no fire, we're all going to be required to pay attention to the fire energy as a missing energy in our life. I know myself, I've been feeling the desire to light more candles. I went and bought a bunch of matches. I have matches kind of in every room now, so I'm like, okay, I need to light a little fire. I need to have a little candle going. And today I had some people over. We were working on something, and then we were like, okay, we need to light some candles and create a vision, you know, because the visioning piece, the light being missing, helps us not see. But on the other hand, the emotions flowing help us feel deeply and profoundly. So we're in the emotions. We're in the feeling state. Now this week, because there are a couple of aspects that perfect, meaning they come together and start a new cycle, we have some endings and we have some new beginnings. So we always know that the chart, when a conjunction takes place, is a new story starting. But right before the new story starts, an old story ends. And the ingress chart this season has 6 conjunctions in it. That's a lot of conjunctions. One, Mercury is the only planet without a conjunction. But everybody else is in a conjunction starting some new story, starting some new vision. And this week we have 6, we have 3 conjunctions. We have Sun come to Saturn on September 30th. And that happens every year. The Sun comes and finds Saturn and says, okay, I'm going to begin a new position, a new vision, a new journey around my authority. And Saturn in Libra has a whole story around wanting to partner in creation or solidness, right? And then Mercury enters Libra after a whole series of aspects. Mercury is really busy this week. He's moving fast, and he has, like, maybe 30 aspects. He's got two-thirds of a page in my charts, you know, that I print out every week. So Mercury is really busy, and he's going to be talking to all sorts of people. And then he also is going to go whipping through that T-square that we've been working with since last summer that is starting to break up. And as it breaks up, those planets are free to move forward and to go and create something because they're not so power struggling with each other. But Mercury's going to come along and stimulate all of them. Now, he's in the sign he loves. He's in the sign of Virgo for most of the week, and then he moves into Libra. So when he's in the sign of Virgo, he gathers information and he disseminates information. He's really not too concerned that you care or you don't care about the information. He's just telling you what's going on. You can do with it what you will. And in a sense, don't judge it. Just listen to it. Just kind of, because Mercury is the ruler of the judgment card in tarot. And in fact, when I was at Patty's show tonight, one of the card that came up for her was judgment. And it's about looking at your patterns and about not judging them, but seeing them and understanding what those patterns speak to you about. Because as they speak, we then have the energy of, let's understand the correlation between the two of them, and let's say the patterns are what created our reality, you know, kind of like the test patterns on the TV, or the patterns, the routines that we follow when we're sewing an outfit. We follow a pattern to create the same thing over and over again. It's not a bad thing. It's a pattern. It's a guide that helps us to go someplace. At the same token, because we are at such moments of change, we maybe want to change our patterns so we can create something else. If you always create short-sleeved dresses and you suddenly decide you want sleeves, you've got to change the pattern to include some sleeves, right? You know, it's just basic sewing 101. It's also basic life 101. There's that famous quote that, you know, we hope for change, but we keep doing the same thing that got us to where we are now. This is a time with Mercury becoming he's very non-judgmental when he's in Virgo. He simply reports the facts. He says, see, this is the fact. This is what it is. And he's not looking to please anybody. He's just too busy. He's doing his work. He's not caring if you care. He's going to tell you what he sees. And he just gives you information. Now, he does have an opposition to Jupiter-Uranus this week, who are at the last degrees of Pisces. So some of the things he sees, you may go, well, I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't see that. And no, you didn't, and that's okay. But now you do see it. And once you see it, you are forever changed, okay? That's the whole thing with those words. They're very powerful. You know, when someone says something to you, or you hear it, or you see it, or you get that idea, you are forever changed. So think of all the ideas that we've changed with over the years. Man can't run a four-minute mile until somebody did. People can't fly until somebody invented a plane. People can't go to the moon until somebody figured out how to do that. It's understanding that when we say the vision, the idea, we start to create towards it. The problem this week is there's no fire. So we don't necessarily have a clear vision, but we do have an idea of what we want. And so we have to say, well, my idea is this. My vision isn't clear. Let me move towards my idea of what I want. Then Mercury goes on the 3rd into Libra, or Libra, depending on how you speak, the balanced words. And Libra and Libra is about balance. You see, I'm saying it two ways so that I'm not picking on one version over the other. And that happens on the 3rd, which is on Sunday. So we're going to be seeking a balance and trying to come up with balanced communication and looking for a more comfortable communication that is less perhaps critical, because Virgo can be critical, but also that is not so much about hurting people's feelings as it is about communicating what needs to happen. Then we have Venus and Mars joining this week. They join on the 3rd also. And Venus and Mars are traveling together for, you know, this fall. And when they're together, they're very self-indulgent in the sense that they don't really need other people. People that are born with Venus and Mars conjunct in their chart don't, you know, they're very self-satisfied. They're the people that go like, I can be in a relationship or I cannot be in a relationship. They don't really care because their Venus and Mars have each other to play with, kind of like twins. You know, they can talk to each other and they don't really need anybody else. because their charts match. So why would they need to go outside of the twin relationship? When you have Venus and Mars conjunct in your chart, you're kind of like an honorary twin because your Venus has Mars to play with and your Mars has Venus to play with, and they're kind of like, well, it might be nice to go out with someone else, but I don't really have to. So these guys this week are joining, and what that then starts is a new cycle for Mars around connecting with Venus in terms of the desire and what Venus wants him to get for her, because she's usually giving him a list. And for Venus, it starts a new cycle of her acting out in the world what her desire nature is. So watch for that over the weekend as those planets come together. Now, we have Saturn joined with the Sun, and then we have Mercury joined with Venus, and we also have Mercury enter Libra. So we're going to be finding a lot of people saying, you know, this is really great. I do care for you enormously, but I don't want to do this anymore. Or, thank you very much for asking, but it's really not my focus for this year. So, like, I got asked to do something on Friday night, and it was like, oh, wow, really excited to be asked. And then I kind of went, but I have all this stuff I want to do this year for myself, you know, not in a mean way, but I have a focus. I kind of have a vision of where I'm going. And that other thing is nice, but it would take a lot of my time. And I really feeling short supply of time these days. I want another 10 hours in every day, and I'm recognizing I don't have it, and perhaps I need to give up some of the things I love doing because I just don't have enough time, or I need to figure out a better way to deliver them because I don't have enough time. And time is, you know, fleeting. It feels like, oh, my God, suddenly the day is over, and I'm like, what the hell happened? I don't think I did anything. And in the meantime, I get up in the morning and I run till I go to sleep. So it's about visioning what you want. And, yes, nice to be asked, but no, perhaps not this time. Thank you. Ask me again. Don't think I'm not interested, but I have commitments this year that are big that I really want to seed and get moving. So the Venus-Mars is a commitment to what we desire, a commitment to our vision for what we want. And now remember, Venus is going to station and go retrograde. So you may very well think this is what you're doing, and then she goes backwards and you go, oh, I didn't mean that. I meant this other thing. And you're like, yeah, right. I not what I wanted. And we kind of go, ooh. Now remember, Venus is retrograde. It allows you to change your mind over what you desire, to take the thing that you desire and come up with a new vision for it. And the retrograde journey says it's okay to change your mind. It's okay to not know. It's okay to think you want something and then go, you know, maybe not. And what's going to happen is Mercury's rushing to catch up with Venus and Mars because he was retrograde, you know, in September. So he's way back there in Virgo coming and going, hey, I have some more information. Don't forget about me. And then he's going to catch up to Venus while she's going retrograde, and he's going to give her the information. And then she's going to go, wow, this is what I really want, but Mars is off getting me that other thing. So then she's going to say to Mercury, look, do me a favor, go catch up with Mars. And Mercury's going to go running after Mars to catch up with him, bringing him a message from Venus. Now, that all happens more in the fall. But this week, this month, we're committing to process. We're committing to ideas. So I have one client who's signing a contract, making a commitment to herself and her business. I have, I've been working, as you know if you read my column, I've been working on modifications to my website and saying, okay, we need to make this a little more functional, a little more streamlined, and I need a schedule. I need to put down a schedule in place so I don't keep missing deliverables in terms of the week has started and I haven't even started to write the column. You know, I need to block out chunks of writing time, and I need to do that and be committed to that and not get distracted with other stuff that's interesting but isn't my focus. So Venus in Scorpio is asking us to focus intensely. And this week on the 3rd, she's going to say to us, okay, put that plan in place. You need to be running your plan. You need to have the vision, the emotional consistency, that helps support it. And remember, whenever we do anything where we're creating a process, there's an emotional component too, where we actually say, yeah, I'm emotionally ready for this, you know. And I know at points in time when I've been ambivalent about something and I haven't emotionally been able to show up for it, you know, as opposed to the stuff that I know I really want to do, I'm like, I'm there, you know, emotionally ambivalent about the gym, totally there about talking to a friend. You know, it's understanding where do you show up, where are you not ambivalent, where are you committed to process. That's the point. Pay attention to what calls you, the places where you feel ambivalent and you don't really want to do them. Just say, you know, that's a lovely offer, but I think I'm going to have to say no, thank you. Now, you can always change your mind down the road, so say it nicely. And you may change your mind down the road once Venus goes retrograde. Or you may see a way that you could do it once Venus goes retrograde, because you're going to be like, oh, I can see how I can do that. That won't be so hard. What I have to do is this. And then you'll be able to put that in place and get that up and running. But it won't be necessarily because you don't have a vision. It'll be because you don't have the stuff right now. You don't have all the information you need, which you will get when Mercury comes to Venus and then when he runs ahead to catch up with Mars. All right, so we're busy, busy. The other thing that happens is there's these things called trans-Neptunian planets, which the Uranian people are all cheering that I talk about now. And for those of you who don't know what the heck I'm talking about, we'll talk about it. The trans-Neptunians were discovered before Pluto was discovered. And basically what they are is they're highly sensitive points in the heavens that after observing and noticing when things went on, these areas of the heavens, we think there's planets in. Astrologers think there are. We're waiting for the astronomers to find them. They haven't reported back yet that there's a planet there. But we happen to notice when stuff goes on in those spaces that the world is a little bit more juicy. So this week, Mars joins with Poseidon on the 27th. So you can expect a highly, highly emotional day because the energy of Mars, a highly passionate day, perhaps an incredibly upset day, perhaps a breakthrough of emotions day, but it'll definitely be something where you go, wow, I never realized that this was what could happen. Holy cow. And pay attention to what that is. The other thing that happens on the 27th is Saturn squares the nodes. And when Saturn squares the nodes, what happens is we meet our destiny. We run into a destiny choice point where the universe says to us, here is your choice. Which way would you like to go? And your job is to say, I want that. And you have to be ready to answer that question tomorrow when Saturn squares the nodes, because he is going to be asking you in the middle of the day, what is it you want? Right? And what are you looking for? Once you commit, towards the end of the week, there's this wellspring of energy that seems to come out of nowhere where you're going to go, whoa, what a ride. And it'll feel like the universe takes off with a rocket launch because the planets that need to be making commitments and working towards doing things are really showing up and pushing and pushing and pushing. So don't be surprised by that whoosh of energy. Correspondingly, if you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing, the back end of this week can be very difficult because the universe is going to be saying to you, I've been waiting for you to do this. You still have not done it. And almost an annoyed kind of voice or an annoyed kind of energy. So if on path, that part breaks out and starts to run wild. Not on path, problems can ensue. And just kind of watch, you know. And it may be that you have problems in one section and you break free in another. But pay attention to Thursday, Friday for that shift in energy when the conjunction happens of Saturn to the Sun that says, this is where I'm going for the next year. And Saturn says to the Sun, you know, I don't know about that. Or Saturn says to the Sun, go ahead. You got green lights. Go for it. So we're going to watch. It's a very interesting week. So you may find that some areas are really open and running for you, and other sections are blocked. And if that's the case, pay attention to the blocked sections. Those are the sections you have to modify behavior on. And if you modify behavior on them, it will help enormously in terms of the creation energy going forward. Okay? So just be gentle with yourself. The other thing that happens is Juno goes into the planet of, or into the sign of Virgo. I'm sorry, yeah, Juno, the partnership. So she's leaving Leo where she's the queen, and now she's becoming a little more aware of, oh, I'm in this relationship that has this push-me-pull-you kind of thing where I find myself defaulting to servant mode. And I'm not a servant. I don't want to be a servant anymore. I want to be a partner. I wanted to be queen. I was the queen. So it's like she's gone from being the queen of the heavens to understanding that Zeus is going to continue to fool around on her, and there isn't really anything she can do about it. She's actually trapped. So there can be a trapped feeling this week where you feel like you're trapped and caught. It's an illusion. It's a trapping that is part and parcel of what you created to help yourself. Know you need to break free, okay? So if you're feeling trapped someplace, you need to break free from that and say, you know, much fun as this is, I don't really think this is working for me. I need to come up with something else. The other thing that we have happen is we have the planet Hades, which is, again, a trans-Neptunian. Hades is stationing, and he is stationing on the world axis. So we can expect some pretty interesting information around the 1st of October, the 2 or 3 days before, which is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the 2 or 3 days after, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Because as the planet stops, he magnifies the energy, magnifies, and Mercury comes along to set off Hades to come to square him on the 3rd. So we can get some interesting news this week about how we need to change our behavior to get what we want. And just kind of really pay attention to your patterns. Pay attention to the time-worn things that you do over and over again, that there's a part of you that knows they need to go away. This is the week to say to the universe, I'm letting them go and releasing them. Okay, so I've been making noise about Goodwill. We have to call Goodwill and schedule and get this stuff out of the house. Have I called Goodwill yet? No, of course not. This is the week I need to call Goodwill because it needs to leave because it's just taking energy, sucking energy, sitting in a little pile on the floor. But at the same time, it's like, well, how in the heck do I get all this other stuff? Well, if I call Goodwill, I'll probably free up a lot of energy. Let that go. It's understanding the priorities also are going to be very shifting this week because Mercury is moving so fast and he's pointing out things. And what you should do is say, I'm taking it on advisement, let me write it down. I'm taking it on advisement, let me write it down. And don't worry about how. Just, you know, look at it and say, yep, I'm ready to make the commitment to that. Nope, I'm not ready to make the commitment to that. I'm going to let you know about this in a couple of weeks, but right now I'm too swamped. It's that kind of week. And so if someone says to you, they can't do something this week, don't take it personally because they may change their mind when Venus goes retrograde in a couple of weeks. But right now they're feeling overwhelmed and swamped. So there's an inability to make return phone calls. There's an inability to show up in the way you might want them to show up. There's a desire for everybody that needs, everybody's going to be feeling like their needs are highly important and they need to be met. At the same time, their needs are highly important and the people who they want to meet them perhaps aren't going to. And that is okay. They can actually do fine without it. It would be nice if it was there, but that other person has their thing that they're working on too and perhaps doesn't have the time. So it's you know, it's a crappy week in one way because of the restriction around getting what you want met. If it's not in your best interest. If it's in your best interest, the people who you expect to meet it may have trouble showing up. Doesn't mean there aren't other people there. Look for them. And it may be a week where you're really, really committing to new process because there's a lot of push towards the new energy. And so we watch the push towards the new energy and we watch the shift and change towards the old energy that isn't quite in there. Right? And so when we see that, we go, okay. You know, we're ready to go. And that's the key. We're ready to go. Where are we going? I'm here. Where am I going? So show up. Smile. You don't necessarily know where you're going, but kind of give it a push and give it permission to move forward. The aspects with the moon this week. Monday, the moon's in Taurus, which is a stubborn moon. The closing aspect is nice. It's a sextile to Uranus, so it has a really positive energy around expanding and creating. And it also has a really lovely energy around being creative. In Taurus moons, moon is exalted when it's in Taurus. Now, right now it's being ruled by Venus in Scorpio, so it's a little more demanding, perhaps, than we might like, but it still is clear, right? And Taurus is about our possessions. It rules our second house, so it's about money, our talents, our skills, how we're going to be compensated or paid for them, or how we're not compensated or paid for them. And you may find that if you're getting into power struggles with people around money, this is the moon in Taurus. When the moon in Taurus, the moon is in Taurus, people are very aware of, hey, you know what, you know, you said bop, bop, and people get very cranky around the things they think of they're owed. Check to see if you really are owed that, O-W-E. Do they really owe you that? And if they do, what is their position on getting it to you? If you feel like someone owes you something and you're having a little temper tantrum about it and they don't owe you anything because what they're doing is because they want to do it and now suddenly they can't and you're used to them doing it, think twice before you yell at them. Think twice before you send them a nasty email. Think twice before you leave them a phone call telling them how deeply disappointed you are in them. Because maybe they're having a hard time on their side of the world, too. On Tuesday, Wednesday, the moon is in Gemini, with the closing aspect being a square to Uranus. This is great days to end things. So you can really get totally irritated and want to end things rather than allowing things to continue. And our job then is to say, okay, I am going to end things with the idea that I'm ready to break free and do stuff. We also have then right behind that Sun conjunct to Saturn and Venus coming to Mars. So we do have very strong ending energy on that in that Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, the moon is in Cancer. And Friday, the moon is in Cancer. And Saturday morning until 11:30, well, actually until 2:21, but 11:30 the moon goes void in Cancer, so Friday morning. And that aspect is a sextile to Mercury. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday are great communication days, except for that little void moon period, where we're really able to communicate in a very appropriate manner and in a very appropriate way what we want, what we need, emotionally, what we're looking for. And the moon in Cancer is its sensitive moon, but it also has many, many aspects. And we really are able to actually speak our truth. And because we're going to have the ending energy on Thursday, we're going to say, okay, now that that's finished, next up I want to do X, Y, Z. Then on Saturday and Sunday, we have the moon in Leo. And it goes void in the next day with an opposition to Neptune. So Saturday and Sunday are really pretty dreamy. And the moon in Leo is a showcase moon, meaning it showcases things, it helps people see things, and on that day there's a lot of cross-activity. There's lots and lots of activity over these 3 days with the opposition of Mercury opposite Uranus and with the Sun to Mercury going into Libra and with the Venus and the Mars joining. So it's a busy weekend in terms of communication and connection. So the second and the third is very, very active communication-wide with an opposition to Neptune kind of saying, okay, that was my dream, and did it come true or not? And perhaps it didn't, but I'm actually ready for whatever the new vision of the dream is. So the week, the moons are actually very productive and helpful, and none of them are particularly hard. The Gemini moon is, you know, on Tuesday, Wednesday, you can catch somebody lying to you that day. And in fact, I had someone here the other day, and they were talking about how their partner kind of habitually lies. And I'm like, but you're not the person to lie to because you always catch them in the lie. And she goes, I do. And why does the partner lie all the time? And it was kind of like the habit. The partner had the habit of lying. That's just what they did. They liked to lie. And the lie about things that were really kind of stupid, but that would always come true. You know, they would always get caught. The falsehood would always come out. And so we were talking about it, and Gemini moon, what it has is it has its own version of the truth. And on a bad day, that moon can talk itself into believing it is correct. So you want to watch Tuesday and Wednesday, because those moons have a potential to say, the moon on those days has a potential to say, but hey, I'm right, and you're wrong, and nani nani boo boo, I'm not going to do what you'd want me to do. And you can have a tendency to cut off your nose to spite your face rather than standing up and showing up the way you should, right? Because the tendency with the square there is to say, nope, not gonna. Nope, you can't make me. Nope. it's like a little recalcitrant five-year-old that is just saying no because they can. And you want to watch for that recalcitrant five-year-old in you that pops out when, in fact, you do want to say yes, but there's a part of you that goes, I don't know that yes is going to work in this situation. I think it's going to be a no instead. So it's understanding that that feeling of wanting to make the no is very strong. And when we look at it, we want to kind of watch that energy. Then last but not least, we do have a grand trine in the heavens in water, right, giving us a lot of emotional energy. We also have a lot of conjunctions with the Sun-Saturn forming a new beginning, the Mars-Venus forming a new beginning, the Pluto-Node forming a new beginning, the Neptune-Chiron forming the new beginning, and the Jupiter-Uranus forming a new beginning. Okay? Lots of new beginnings. So your job is to kind of say, okay, what are we doing? Mercury is feral for the most part. He has a couple of aspects to, you know, to the sun, but he's really running feral right now, meaning he's not really talking to any of the other planets the beginning part of the week. As we get later in the week, when he gets ready to go into Libra on Sunday or on Saturday, when does he go in? He goes in on the 3rd. So as the beginning of the week, he is not connecting to other planets. So when Mercury is not connecting and is feral means he doesn't have any behavior or modification from the other planets. He's wild. Feral planets do whatever they damn well please because nobody else is around to say, oh, you probably shouldn't do that, you know. Like, they think they're alone and they can get away with it, essentially. And so Mercury feral can give information like he thinks he can get away with it, but in fact, it's a little problematic. So we do want to watch that we don't give away information that is difficult, harmful, or hurtful to someone. We want to give them the understanding and the vision that we would like them to have rather than, and so be careful of your communications. Understand what they are and how they work and understand what all is involved in them so that people can really work with them in a different way. Okay? So we want to watch that Mercury. All right, and I think that's pretty much it for the week. We have oppositions with Pluto on the node. We have endings with the Jupiter-Uranus and the Neptune-Chiron in last degrees, saying changes to the dream. And then we have new beginnings with the Mars and Venus and the Sun and Saturn. Again, no fire in the sky. So we have no fire all week, which that does. I mean, I had a couple of fire people last week really break down in tears. When there's no fire, you really miss it because there isn't a vision. There isn't a passion. There's something gone. So we want to watch for how do we dry out, how do we direct the vision and see where we're going. And I think that's basically the week's theme. So now we'll take a couple callers. I see there's some people on the line. And our call-in number, if you've stayed up late to listen, is 347-215-7467, 347-215-7467. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City, and this is a radio show to help you learn how to work with the planetary energies in a positive and productive way. The other thing is the T-square, from the point of view of Saturn and Jupiter, is officially separated. It's still in place with the Sun, Pluto, and separating still, but it is giving a relief. So as we separate from the August timeframe, the July and August, you can also be processing emotionally the stuff that went on over the summer, because that's part of what the job of this time is to emotionally work with whatever experiences that and changes happened in your life during these last few months. Okay. Hello, caller 412. How are you? Are you on the air?
Hi, I'm fine.
Hi. Did you have a question?
It's not really, just what's going on as far as love life and career. Where am I headed, pretty much?
Okay, cool. What's your chart?
November 8th, 1979.
And time?
I was born around, I don't know the exact time, probably around 5 p.m.
Okay, where?
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
in Clearview or Northampton?
I believe Clear.
Okay. Who knew there were two Bethlehems in Pennsylvania? All right, so love and career. All right, so you're November 8th, 79, 5 p.m. You're really working right now. Your chart is kind of going to be a little foggy about both of those areas because you're really at the ending cycle for something. So, you know, like what you figured out last fall was you didn't really want to keep doing the work you were doing. You had your Saturn return then, and it said, I don't really like this work.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in the, well, what actually do I want to do if I don't do that work?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing any artwork or any kind of artistic creative work in your life?
I am a mobile therapist. I'm a therapist.
Okay, so you move around and help people with their mobility issues?
I go from homes to schools, and I deliver, like, mental health therapy.
Okay, all right. And what are you doing for your own artistic piece? Because there's a really big artist part of you that is needing expression.
I don't do anything.
All right, there we go. I want you to add some art to your life, okay? You have one, two, three, four planet, three planets, a node, and the part of fortune in the house of art, all right? And you're a Scorpio Uranus. So you can do the therapy piece, totally get it, works pretty well with your chart, but there's this dying artist in there that needs to have her expressions happen. So I don't care if you don't show it to anybody or do it for anybody and you just simply do it in your own house by yourself, whether it's writing, which is a possibility, or it's some kind of craft, creative project where you actually give yourself permission to create. Certainly, if you have children, you can channel it through them. But if you don't have children, they're, you know, when you get children, they're going to be the ones that help you do creative things. But until they happen, we need you to create some stuff in your own life where you're feeling like, gee, this is how I express my creativity.
Uh-huh.
If you don't do that, the rest of your chart doesn't really perform well. Because what happens when those five planets in your fifth house are not satisfied, they're how you get your mojo and your energy. They're how you pull in relationship. They are how you energize your career. And the reason I'm saying that for the people who are following along astrologically at home is the sun rules her fifth house, and the sun's in the seventh. So sun in the seventh, edge of the sixth in the seventh, says, yes, I work face-to-face with people, but my Mars, my energy, my life force comes from creating. And if I don't create, I'm not happy. And then all those Virgo planets are I work, 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 work. But if I'm not creating something while I work, then I lose my money. Mercury sits next to Venus, and I lose my relationships because my relationships come from this place. So if you have children, they're going to help you with that space. But if you don't have children yet,
I don't have any.
Yeah, I was going to say it didn't look like you had any. It didn't look like you got any yet. But that's why I said if you don't have kids, when the kids come, they're going to be a natural place for you to play. And they'll be fun for you, and you'll have a good time, and that will fill those planets up. But by not having them, you need to make sure that you play every day. There's an excellent book by Julia Cameron called The Artist's Way, and I want you to start rethinking of yourself as an artist. You're a Taurus rising. Your Venus is in Sagittarius, which is very much creative and partnering and loving and wanting to be higher vision, and it's in the seventh house. And so if she's creating stuff, your chart then is able to create love and create satisfying work. And it's really easy. It's whatever you're drawn to. If it's doing needlepoint, if it's doing writing, if it's baking and cooking, you know, making cookies for people that people like, or making artisan breads and giving them to your friends. Something where you're actually physically creating something because you've got Virgo planets there, and something where you're inspired with that Mars and Leo. That will help, and that will stimulate those planets so that they're active and they go find what you're looking for. Because right now they're kind of sad. Best way to say it. Yeah. And then work looks like it does change next summer when Saturn comes to your Pluto. But right now it's like you have to have like a passion. And you were taught to be responsible, and you know, and you are, and that's great. But I want you to sculpt. I want you to, you know, carve soap I want you to paint, you know, paint your house and sponge rag your walls, you know, with those little art paints, whatever. Something where you're inspired to create beauty, to create life, to create as an artist, even if you took a dance class every day or you did, you know, some belly dancing or something where you're physically working your body and helping create, that would help a lot.
Uh-huh.
And once you do that, your whole chart will come alive. Because that's how you get those things that you said you wanted, career and relationship. They're both tied to that fifth house of being creative. Career is ruled by Capricorn. Saturn's in the fifth. Relationships are ruled by Mars. Mars is in the fifth. Sun Uranus there, back to the fifth. Mercury there in the seventh house, back to the fifth. Everything in your chart goes towards creative. The more creative you are, you'll be amazed at the shift. And think about, like, when you do stuff, you have a day where you really get to do what you want to do, how happy you are.
Yeah.
And how you radiate it, and people just are drawn to you.
Uh-huh.
You know? Yes?
Yes.
When you do, like, what I call a fritter day. My friend Dan Dunford and I, we refer to them as fritter days, where you just kind of do whatever you want to do, in whatever order you want to do it, and you just have fun and play. On those days, you're radiantly alive. And everywhere you go, people are like, hi, how are you? And you're like, I'm fine. But you want to live that way every day. It doesn't take a lot. Just needs, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour in the morning. Or in the afternoon. Knowing that you're going to play will make you happy.
Okay.
You got I'm interrupted. I said, quiet, Ann. She's saying something. Yes, what did you say?
I do like to cook, and I cook, like, for today, I went over to my parents' house, and I cooked dinner for everyone, and, I mean, I like to cook, but I can't do that all the time, plus it's just me, so, you know, but I like to try to cook for my family whenever I get a chance, and usually that would be, like, a Sunday dinner, or if there's a special occasion, and then I was thinking of, I wouldn't mind getting into learning how to knit, or crochet.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm trying to go back. Like, tomorrow, I'm actually going to go and get a membership at a gym to get more physical because I'm just not physical enough.
Right, right. Well, make it be fun physical. Make it be like dance classes or, you know, something where you get to dance and sing and have a good time rather than, like, making it labor work. You know, I have to do the circuits. Unless the circuit feels fun to you. Because there's a certain part of your chart that likes the ritual routine, you know, it likes to know that that's its routine, but make sure you're putting on good music that makes you sing while you're doing it, so that you're feeling like you're playing.
Okay.
Yeah. And the more you do that, and I would say to you, the cooking is great, you know, as an outlet for you, but also the needlepoint, knitting, any of those crafty things, you know, your chart's very crafty. It's got a real desire to kind of do that, or glue guns, you know. When I first did it, I thought glue guns and glitter, you know, like, you know, painting your clothes or decorating your shoes or getting a craft, you know, getting one of those 101 crafts to do and doing stuff where you're feeling like you're creating something that you can then give to other people, or, you know, even just make jewelry and sell it, you know, give it to a friend who you know who has a store and just do beading. You know, because it will make you, you'll be surprised how it makes you feel alive.
Okay.
And you don't have to keep it all for yourself. You can use this as a money-making opportunity, too. So.
Yeah.
Very cool. That would be, it will really help. Just that one little minor change, because everything comes back to the fifth house in your chart. So we really have to get you being some kind of creative, where you consciously say, you know, I paint, I dance, I sing, I, whatever you do, defining yourself as an artistic, creative being in addition to my work as a therapist or my work as, in, you know, because you've got a service component there. Totally, I see it. But it's not, that's not where you get your juice from.
Okay.
And that's not how your chart gets turned on so that it attracts in partners, you know, or helps your career go where it wants to go. Because then you're going to say, this is really what inspires me. And you did have conservative folks that said this is the safe job, and that's totally true. It's a good job for your chart because you do have seventh house emphasis. Mm-hmm. But it also is about you giving stuff that makes you happy. Did you give up something you really loved when you were almost 15? Like a dance class or music or...
Played the violin, actually. Yeah, mm-hmm. When I was 15. I think when I turned 16, like, it was right, yeah.
Like right before 15, your 15th birthday, like 14 and three quarters.
Yeah, it was about 15, 16 I stopped playing the violin.
Okay. And do you play any other musical instruments?
No, I mean, I know how to play the piano just a little bit, but mm-hmm. No, I don't play anything now.
Does that make you happy? Because it's, again, the hand movement and the violin is the fingering.
I miss it. Sometimes I really miss it a lot, and I wish I would have kept going on, and I want to punch myself for, like, giving up on it and just stopping, but, and it was such a stupid reason for why I stopped, too. So, but, you know.
What was the reason why you stopped?
Because that's why I know it was around 15, 16, because when I turned 16, I got a job, and I started getting my nails done.
Uh-huh.
And so you can't have nails when you play the violin or piano. It makes it quite difficult. So
right.
I stopped because of that.
Okay.
Because I preferred to get my nails done mm-hmm. instead of, it was just a really dingy reason.
Well, no, it was, you know, there was a reason behind it, but you miss it, right?
Yeah.
And do you still get your nails done every week?
No.
Yeah, okay, so you can add it back in again. You know, when I took piano lessons, my guy was like, when the nails are so long that I hear the tapping of the nails, you have to get them cut. And I'm like, okay, you know, so they can actually grow, like, you know, out past, a little bit past the edge of your fingers before they start making more noise than your fingers do. And I kind of would flatten my fingers so that the nails wouldn't make noise. And he's like, you're flattening your fingers. I want curved fingers. And it's like, look, I'm just taking a lesson. Don't yell at me about my curves. Because I wanted the nails and I didn't want the flat. But, yeah, fiddle around with what your length should be or get something where you can actually use your nails, like, you know, play a guitar or something where you get to pluck things with your fingers
mm-hmm.
or like a banjo, you know, where they actually like you to have nails. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, but that's – okay, so that was that's one of the things your chart says, I gave this up and you
mm-hmm.
went to work, right? So you gave up the creative and went to work.
Right.
You made the money, which was good. We love making the money, and you can afford fingernails. Great. But then it was like, but I gave up something I loved because I started to work. And your chart does need to figure out how does it have a work-play balance.
Yeah.
You know, it really needs that balance. And you do have Saturn in Virgo, so you do tend to overwork.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of people think on me about it lately.
Yeah, and that's part of what your Saturn return was. Last fall was I need to have more fun.
Mm-hmm.
I need to not be always just working. You know, if I'm just working all the time, my whole life's going to go by.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're doing...
I'm like, I missed my life. I want my life back.
Yes. Well, getting your life back is just adding play into it every day. You'll be surprised how it energizes the whole rest of the time.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not really gone. It's just you put it into work mode and you gave up the violin.
Yeah.
So if you say, I'm going to pick up the violin and I'm just going to start plucking with some songs I like, or I'm going to, you know what I did when I went back, because I'd given up instruments for a while, I got drums. And you don't
mm-hmm.
have to worry about your fingernails with the drums, because
it's
the pad of your fingers. And it still gives you the rhythm, and you can put on music and play with it and accompany yourself and sing, because you do like to sing a little bit too, it looks like, and...
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself permission to sing and play with, you know, the songs and the artists you like, and kind of reintroduce yourself back into, oh, yeah, when I sing and play my drum, I'm a happy little camper. Get yourself a frame drum. You know, like if you go out to the Internet and look for, like, Lane Redman, she has frame drums, or Glenn Velez, they have a lot of frame drums by him, you know, like the drum man in their hand drums, or a Bodron, which is a... I'm not sure I'm saying it right, which is an Irish drum. You know,
mm-hmm.
get yourself, because you're played with the palm of your hand and the fingers, tips, but you don't, the nails aren't involved. So you can keep nails and still play the instrument.
Yeah. Well,
and
I don't
chart
have any
like
nails.
That
I cut the nails down really low these days, but.
Yeah, okay. So time for the piano. Or even just the keyboard, you know.
Yeah.
And write some love songs for people, or write some, you know, come up, you've got a very witty little mind here. Do you do poetry?
Yes, actually, and that's another thing. I used to blog a lot, and
uh-huh.
I would, like, blog I did poetry. Before I would do poetry, then I went to blogging, like thoughts, you know, about politics and all that kind of stuff. I was very interested in that, in empowerment of people, and I just stopped. So.
Okay. Well, that, you know, maybe writing some inspirational songs. Or songs for children, because you've got a real gift with that, with your lyric. You've got a lyrical thing. So maybe writing some, you know, just songs and then a little drumming, and then, you know, you have an, you know, you have an anniversary or party, and you get known as the one that gives up and does the poem.
Yeah.
The ode to the anniversary, the retirement, to the 16th birthday, to whatever. And that could be your creative rhyming thing that you do and kind of create and drum and sing, and they'll all go, oh, she's so, she not only does she bake, but she does all these other things too, you know?
Yeah,
because you're really a lyricist here with your, I mean, I'm, you know, as a songwriter, you've got songwriting marks, you know, so if you said to me, I used to hear songs in my head and it kind of put that away. It's like, no, get it back out again.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, the stuff you love. Add the stuff back in that you love and miss.
Okay.
It'll really, you'll be surprised. It makes you come alive. And when you you sparkle when you do that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm encouraging you to do it, because you really set off like this glow, and people are highly attracted to that. So that helps with the career, and that helps with the love life.
Okay.
And, you know, that's the, it's a good place to, you know, it's funny how one little minor tweak and you know, you're off. So, all right. So good luck with it.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, bye-bye.
Bye. All righty. Hi, 305. Are you on the air?
Hi.
Hi.
It's really interesting. My name's Eileen. It's really interesting because I have a Taurus rising. And my Saturn's in Virgo, too.
Oh, okay.
But I'm born in 1951.
Okay, cool. What's
so
your
I have all. My birthday is June 28th, 1951, in New York City. 2:50 in the morning.
Okay, and your question?
My question is: this Pluto opposite my Sun. Is I have all kinds of, you know, thoughts about my the values that I'm going through and.
Yep.
My reality and my marriage and stuff
what's
like that.
Important. Yeah.
Because my career is great. That's all just flourishing, and I'm right on target with everything I'm supposed to be doing, and all the magic keeps happening, and I've been focused my whole life on this since I'm 8 years old. So all of that is really good. I'm just really confused in the other parts of my life.
Okay. Well, Pluto opposite your Sun is really about letting you define for yourself what is your vision, right? And with all those planets in your second house, June 2, 8:51, 2:50 in the morning, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 planets and a half, if we count the asteroid. And so those all say, okay, I'm really pushing. And Pluto is opposite your Sun, but don't forget Saturn is squaring him.
Well,
right.
Yeah.
So the combo, the 1-2, Saturn saying to you, Saturn in the fifth, Virgo, creativity, what's the creative story? And then Pluto in the fourth, Pluto, Venus joined. Venus saying, often when she joins with Pluto, and she's past the join, you know, meaning she's separating, so it's not as hard as if she's an approach energy, but she says to Pluto, well, what do I have to sacrifice to have what I want? And Pluto opposite the Sun, Vesta, and opposite, you know, Sun, Vesta right now is saying, do you feel you have to sacrifice to have what you want? And if that's the case, why? And I would suggest to you it's really evaluating Sun rules your fourth, Sun rules your fifth, what your mother's words were to you about your ability to have it all or your ability to create. And what you're doing is reevaluating those and saying, okay, what is truly my purpose? What actually makes me happy? And that's the part. Sun opposite Pluto makes us aware of the power dynamics. And you're, you know, you have a Venus-Pluto down there in the fourth that suggests that there's a hidden power dynamic. And what the Sun opposite Pluto wants you to do is to look at it. And it doesn't mean you have to change it, but it wants you to look at it and say, I understand the hidden power dynamic, and I understand what my motivation is. And that's great, but I'm also having Saturn opposite my Jupiter saying going back 14 years to 1996 and looking at that time frame too. And you have a Jupiter-Neptune opposition, so this chart's very good at saying, this is my dream, let me go get it from somebody. But then the Sun opposite the Pluto says, the Sun opposite Pluto says, or Pluto by transit opposite your natal Sun sends to the Sun in Cancer, what is of purpose, Sun in the second? What's of value to you? What was your mother's values? What was your family's values? What are your values? And as a Taurus, that's always the question. Taurus rising, going to that Venus in Leo, are you doing what you love?
Yeah, definitely.
And, huh?
Definitely.
Definitely doing what you love. And then why aren't you doing what you love in every other part of your life? What would that look like? How would that change? Because with your chart with Pluto, Venus, and Leo, it's like, I understand there's a cost to things, but I'm willing to pay the cost as long as I'm able to do what I love. And even then, it really isn't that big of a cost because I'm doing what I love, and so there isn't a cost associated with it. But Pluto opposite the Sun is saying, are they your beliefs or are they someone else's that you've adopted because that was what you were told was you should want? And if they're yours, fabulous. If they're not yours, there can be a desire now to back off from it and to say, I don't think I want that as much as I thought I did. I think this other thing is important to me here, too.
Okay.
And that's really, it is no right or wrong.
Right.
You know, your chart is very good with all the planets in the second house about what's really of value to you. And so I would just listen to your guidance on it.
Yeah.
And not listen to what everybody else says, well, this is what you need to do.
No, nobody tells me what to do. Everybody tells me listen within. And
yeah.
I always listen within. I've been following my spirit forever.
Okay.
And I usually, if I get a horrible sensation in my stomach, I know I'm not going that way.
You're not going that way.
No, I know that. And yeah. That's making
me
sick.
That's the cancer. That's like your inner guidance is really
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Right. So, and I know when I shouldn't change things, you know, just keep going with the flow and they will all evolve on their own.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, what do you think the Pluto opposite the Sun is for then? What are you struggling with about the value piece?
My struggle has to do with, in relationship, my personal relationship, he's a Pisces with his... my north node sits right on his sun.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of karma there. And I can't get through it. You know what I'm saying? It's there's so much defensiveness coming from this person that just having a conversation, his tone's always yelling and screaming. And I think, well, I don't want to live like my parents did. I mean, that was...
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like that. Well, it's just, it's not as fulfilling as I had thought it would be,
mm-hmm.
in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it like flips me. One day it's like this, and then it goes this way, and I'm like on this pendulum back and forth, and I don't know which way I'm going.
Right, and because he's a water sign guy, you totally are picking up his moods.
Yeah, yeah, and it's Cancer rising, so
right,
he's born on a full moon, so, you know, it's like driving me nuts. And when he's not around, I feel back to my center. And
right.
When he's around, it's... What's going on here? I'm watching the scene, and the scene is very distant, and it's like I might as well be alone because I'm alone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So these are the things that I am battling with right now, and I'm hoping that this Pluto opposition is going to bring it all to the surface.
Well, what the Pluto opposition does is, because it's joined to your Venus, it's always going to bring an existential component to it. And because that Pluto-Venus is in your fourth house, the answer would be, how are you behaving like your mom? Because it's back to the mom energy.
Right.
How are you behaving like your mom with this guy? When he's verbally abusive or his mood shifts, you know, Pisces do have mood shifts. Does he do drugs and alcohol too? Is it a chemical issue?
No alcohol.
But drugs?
Well, you know, nicotine, and yeah, there
well,
is.
Well, it counts because it shifts.
No,
you know,
it
Pisces
is.
Pisces are really sensitive, and they shift. They really get very chemically altered really easily, and
yeah.
don't even recognize it.
No, I recognize it, and our whole relationship, he's always been in the fog.
Your whole relationship, what?
No, his relationship with himself during our whole relationship has always been in the fog.
Yeah.
And when he's not under any kind of influence, he's scared. He's like has no patience.
Right.
And he can't deal with any kind of what's the word I want to say? He's not easy. He's just not easygoing being, you know. He doesn't have happiness. I mean, I'm really happy and I'm upbeat all the time, and I have so much inspiration and creativity and blooming all the time and projects, and he always sees the cup half full.
Right, and if he's not drugged or altered, he's not. You fell in love with the drugged and altered guy. You didn't fall in love with who he really is when he's sober.
Yeah.
And you have to recognize who he is. Pluto opposite the sun is saying to you, see who he is sober. See the chemical altering, because there's always
right.
a third when there's Pluto. So in this case, his state changes, his emotional state changes are tied to the drugs.
Right.
Whatever they are. You know, it can be caffeine, it can be cigarettes. But it's a stimulant. When he stimulates his body, you are in love with that guy, the one that transforms.
Okay.
Not the guy who's normally sober.
Yep.
So that's, you're in love with a drug. The Pluto is the drug in the relationship. That's the triangle. So if you pull that drug out, would you still love this guy? And the drug,
I know that I'm not in sync with him. Absolutely
right.
not.
Yeah, yeah.
And vice versa.
Right. And you're water. So you absorb his energy. When you're near, you've got so many planets in water. If you're near him and he's in a bad state, your chart picks it up. And you're energetically affected. Your chart gets affected. So what you want to do is when he's in a bad mood, glass of water between the two of you, hold the water and then dump it, don't drink it. And then see how when you put the water in front, how it picks the difference. You can feel the energy shift. Because when he's sending you the negative energies, your chart is so receptive because you're earth and water, you're like holding all that stuff. So you're getting polluted. Not in a mean way, but, it's just how he does. And when he's in a chemically altered state, that's the man you love. You don't love the real person.
Yeah.
So you have to, that's what the universe is saying to you when Pluto opposite the sun. Is this, who do you love? You love the one that isn't real.
Okay.
I mean, he is real because there's a part of him, but it's not who he really is. Or maybe it is. Maybe he's altered into the state of what his potential is. And your chart has fallen in love with his vision of what he could be. As opposed to who he really is. And that's that part, I mean, you're working on it. So let's just give it time and space. The Venus retrograde is going to play with all your Cancer planets and all his Pisces planets. So between now and January 7th, I would just gather data and look. And
okay.
then once she goes retrograde on the 7th of October, just pay attention to the different kinds of information you get about whether you want to stay in relationship with him.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because Venus retrograde is really pushing, and she's going to come and talk with Pluto and the Sun. So you're going to have kind of a minor, what's called a minor grand trine. And what that helps you do is get clear on what you actually want to do. So
well,
it'll be a lot clearer once that happens.
Once it goes direct?
No, the whole fall. That's what you're clearing. Because the
yeah.
Virgo piece, Venus and Scorpio is clearing all. She's saying, "Is this who do you love? Well, who's
right.
this guy? Is it him?"
Well, the
him?
Way you said it now, it really puts it into the wordage, because I have thought about that many times,
mm-hmm.
and I always say to myself, "Well, he's so much happier when he's under the influence, right?" You know.
Yeah.
And but that's not my reality, you know.
No.
That's not my truth.
No.
And he doesn't have the spiritual connection that I do.
Right. Right.
Either. So I'm
well, the drugs and alcohol are lower forms of Neptune.
Right.
Right. So they're
right.
they're the spiritual connection he has.
Right.
So that's why you actually see a better behaved person when he's, because it actually is how he gets to God, is by transforming himself with drugs and alcohol or whatever
right.
he trans. That's his state change. That's who he really can be. But because he's not doing his spiritual work,
yeah.
he has to rely on the chemicals to get there. And then he falls further and further from the path because the chemicals need more and more to get you there because you're not doing it your own way. You're not doing it with true form. You're doing it
right.
with an altered
Well,
form.
I keep praying to be lifted out of this scenario.
Well, I would pray for, you know, for guidance, you know.
Yeah.
And say guidance on what I need to do here because the guidance is lifted out of it is, implies you can't leave it. You see who
no,
he
I'm
is.
No, I'm saying lifted out of it and lifted forward. Moving
right,
forward,
but lifted
away.
Forward. Yeah, ask for help.
I'm talking for a separation for sure.
Well, okay.
And I'm actually doing the work for it because of my choices not to get involved deeper in other areas that he wants to do.
Okay.
So I've already been saying no, no, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're already separating. So
yeah.
Just keep asking for help. Ask for help in separating.
Yeah, well, this is really good clarity. So I really appreciate this.
You're welcome. So take care.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
God bless.
All right, so the show's over. Sorry I went over a little, guys. You know how it is. I talk a lot. So take care. Have a great week. This is Ann Ortley on the Weekly Weather on the week of September 27th, 2010. Take care and talk to you next week. Bye.